Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA.
White, couple of jab steps, comes up shooting top three, bam! Put him in the Hall of Fame!
Your number one source for Chicago Bulls news and stories.
What more y'all want me to prove, man?
Levine with a runway, lays it in! Zach Levine!
Find that man every time down the floor.
Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA.
Jordan Malley. Jordan, great to see you through our 670 score scope. Yep.
Where is he?
And it's right over there, Bill.
Joining me now, Matt Peck, Locked On Bulls podcast, producing podcasts left and right, even in the offseason.
On Twitter, at Locked On Bulls, at Jordan C. Malley, and at Bulls underscore Peck.
I don't have Twitter. I don't do anything like that.
And I love what you guys do with the show. I listen to every episode. You guys are one of the best podcasts, period. Y'all keep doing what you do best. I love you guys.
So kick back, relax, and get ready for the best hour of your day.
It's raw.
You can just see the vibe.
Locked On Bulls starts now. Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
Okay, cool. I was hoping it wasn't one of those knucklehead programs.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm Jordan Malley, along with me is Matt Peck. Follow us on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls underscore Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. Hit us up on our text and voicemail line, 331-979-1369. Drop your text, your voicemails, anything you got for us at 331-979-1369. Today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Go to BuiltBar.com, use the promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get 20% off your next order. Shout out to Built Bar. They sent us a little care package this weekend. It was nice. One of their new bars. My favorite flavor, peanut butter, and it tastes like a crunch. So fantastic. Shout out to Built Bar. But Matt, welcome back from the weekend. Unfortunately, we didn't get two Bulls games this weekend with the Raptors-Bulls game being canceled yesterday. Got an unfortunate loss against the Suns, though, on Friday. One that I felt like the Bulls could have won. But before we get into all that, how are you, man? And I'm assuming you're dealing with the Joakim Noah news, okay, right? You saw this coming, right?
Yeah. I mean, what's up, Jordan? What's up, Bulls Nation? Hope everybody had a great weekend. We heard after he had gotten waived by the Clippers officially, before the season got underway, that it was looking like he was headed towards retirement. There was no official announcement, but it seemed like that certainly was the most likely outcome. I know that maybe some Bulls fans were hoping that they would try and find a roster spot for him, bring him in as some veteran front court depth and obviously another great veteran voice for the locker room. And obviously I would have loved to see that happen, but I didn't think it was very likely. Would have also loved to see him find his way onto a contender as a veteran depth piece to, you know, maybe give Joakim one more shot at winning the ring that eluded him when he was with that competitive D Rose led Bulls team in the early 2010s. So, you know, if this is it and this is the career, it was an amazing 13-year career for Joakim. Tons of accolades, two All-Star appearances, a Defensive Player of the Year award, finished top four MVP voting in that DPOY season, and countless memories for myself and I'm sure all of our fellow Bulls fans.
I'd be interested to know if Joakim Noah would come and take a job in maybe the next couple of years if Billy Donovan's still here, whether it be just like an advisory role or, I mean, something a little bit more involved than what Luol Deng is right now or what Tony Kukoc is, just kind of like ambassadors of the team. It'd be kind of cool if he'd want to do that. And I know he's got his charity here in Chicago, too, that he's still very much involved in. But I would imagine he's probably going to take the next couple of years off, maybe go spend them in Hawaii or somewhere where he can lay on a beach and just relax. But yes, he had an amazing career here in Chicago, man. One of my favorite players growing up, and truly like him and Derrick Rose, the two guys, like I didn't get to really witness Jordan. So those two guys meant a lot to like my Bulls fandom growing up. So it's a good way to go out, and I'm glad he's going to end up eventually signing with the Bulls. And once we get fans back, man, I hope we're able to give him the standing ovation, the tribute video, all the goods at the United Center that he deserves.
Yeah, that's what, Shams's tweet indicated, is that when it is finalized and official that the plan is for Joakim to officially retire as a Bull, you know, probably a ceremonial one-day contract kind of thing, similar to what Luol Deng did when he officially retired last year. But yeah, I mean, what you just brought up to me is the most important part of how Joakim is sent off and honored. by the organization that drafted him, where he spent most of his NBA career. You can't do this in a COVID season when the United Center is empty. I know that the United Center and the Bulls have collectively, you know, issued statements with updates recently about trying to get fans back in the United Center soon. I would still be surprised to see that happen this current 21 season. You know, obviously there are certain NBA teams around the league and in certain areas that are allowing a limited number of fans this season. And the league has left that up to the discretion of each team. I haven't seen anything that leads me to believe that the United Center will allow Bulls fans in for Bulls home games on the back half of this season. So if you have to delay Joakim's retirement ceremony until we can have a sellout crowd at the United Center, full capacity, 20,000 Bulls fans on their feet for, you know, Joakim being honored in whatever the way that is, then that's what you should do. That's what they should do. They should wait. Because it would just feel wrong for Joakim to be honored in an empty stadium. You know, he had so many plays that brought Bulls fans to their feet over the course of his career. And I was lucky enough to witness some of them firsthand in the United Center. And it, you know, that's what it needs to be. And it'll be a little bit of an annoyance that we'll all have to wait for that to happen. But hell, man, if I can be there in the building for when they honor Joakim's career and he officially, you know, says goodbye to professional basketball, I will be there. You know that about me and my Joakim fandom.
Man, him and Neil Funk, right? Neil Funk also is one that's kind of waiting on that night, and he 100% deserves it too. So yes, once like, and even if they have to extend it to next season when hopefully we've got fans back in the stadium. Yeah, that's something him and Neil Funk definitely deserve their kudos and rightfully deserved as such. So good career from Joakim Noah. I know he had the dark spot in New York, but I mean, it's all good memories here in Chicago. And we can have the debate about retiring his jersey number at some point, maybe during the All-Star game break where we got about 10 days off or something. But I mean, it's certainly worth the conversation, man.
It is. There is, I think Bulls Talk already has a poll saying, should the Bulls retire his number? And there are in the replies already lots of different opinions and conflicting opinions. I'll save my take for that for, like you said, maybe when we've got some downtime, lots of days with no games to talk about. Certainly someone who's deserving of a lot of respect. But, you know, the Bulls as an organization, as you know, Jordan, do not retire a whole lot of numbers. There are very few hanging up there in the rafters. You got MJ and Scotty and, you know, Sloan and Love. And that's it. Like, they haven't even retired Norm's number. So that is a big conversation. And then another one, and it's maybe more of a fringe conversation, but does Joakim have enough on his resume to warrant Hall of Fame discussion? So, you know, I think it would be a tough climb for Joakim to get that Hall of Fame nod. It probably would not be, you know, first ballot kind of material. But that's another interesting conversation we can have too.
It's bizarre. And yeah, it's bizarre. I'll just leave it at this. I think he's got a better shot at the Basketball Hall of Fame than he does having his jersey retired by the Bulls. And
those two college titles won't hurt, right?
No, right, exactly. And yeah, and maybe like, and people will automatically bring up the Rose conversation too. It's like, how could you retire Joakim's number before Derek's number? And maybe they both get retired one day at the same time. Maybe that's the rightful way to do it.
All right, Jordan, we've got a Bulls Suns game to break down. Before we do that, wanted to tell our listeners about a great opportunity to feel better, think better, sleep better with our friends at Headspace. Wouldn't it be great if there were a pocket-sized guide that helped you sleep, focus, act, and be better? There is. And if you have just 10 minutes, Headspace can change your life. Headspace is your daily dose of mindfulness in the form of guided meditations in an easy-to-use app. Headspace is one of the only meditation apps advancing the field of mindfulness and meditation through clinically validated research. So whatever the situation, Headspace really can help you feel better. Maybe you're overwhelmed. Headspace has a 3-minute SOS meditation for you. Need some help falling asleep? Headspace has wind down sessions their members swear by. And for parents, Headspace even has morning meditations you can do with your kids to get your days off to the right start. Headspace's approach to mindfulness can reduce stress, improve sleep, boost focus, and increase your overall sense of well-being. Jordan, I've been using a Headspace app for past several months. I find it useful in a lot of different ways. I use a lot of their different meditations. I do one usually midday to kind of take a break from the grind of working from home that we're all dealing with right now. And then I really have enjoyed some of their pre-bedtime meditations that really just kind of let you relax and focus on your breathing and just let go of all the stresses of your day and put you in the best position possible for a great night's sleep. Headspace is backed by 25 published studies on its benefits, 600,000 five-star reviews, and over 60 million downloads. Headspace makes it easy for you to build a life-changing meditation practice with mindfulness that works for you on your schedule, anytime, anywhere. You deserve to feel happier, and Headspace is meditation made simple. Go to headspace.com/lockedonNBA. That's headspace.com/lockedonNBA for a free 1 month trial with access to Headspace's full library of meditations for every situation. This is the best deal offered right now. So head to headspace.com/lockedonNBA today.
This episode is also brought to you by BetOnline.ag. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football is over, but the NBA, college basketball, and the NHL are in full swing. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. Real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. Unfortunately, our guy LeBron blew a 95-1 parlay for me, Matt, on Friday that I don't really want to talk about. He needed three threes, and the Lakers ended up winning that game, so all I needed was LeBron to hit three threes. He had a shot at it. He had 90 seconds left.
As a Bulls fan, Jordan, it serves you right for betting on LeBron.
And then sure enough, Sunday, he comes out and hits three in the first half, but he had his shots. 90 seconds left, he took two threes. That's all I can ask for is the attempts are there. But if you want to do something similar, hit big on a parlay, or you want to bet on the Bulls tonight against the Nuggets, you can do that at BetOnline.ag. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Use the promo code LOCKEDON when you go to BetOnline.ag and sign up for a free account. You'll also receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Let's get into one of these games, Matt, on Friday that I felt like the Bulls just kind of let slip out of their hands. I mean, to score to 39 points in the second half was brutal. Their turnover number is atrocious as well, and that's been kind of a theme over the last, I don't know, week and a half or so. It seems like the abundance of turnovers has been a big, big problem for this Bulls team, and it's actually kind of resulted and swung in the opposite favor of the Bulls. You look at the two losses that they've had over the last couple of weeks, and it's mainly because of those turnovers. The Bulls out-rebounded the Suns, they shot better from the three-point line, and they had more assists than the Suns, so it wasn't for a lack of not playing well together, it's just the turnovers late, man, and the lack of scoring in the second half did it in for me, at least.
It was a really frustrating game to watch because you saw the Bulls just playing so well in the first half. The ball was moving. Everybody was getting assists. Everybody was finding open looks and knocking them down. And you're sitting there saying, man, this is a Suns team that is on fire. You know, I believe they had won 12 of their previous 15 games coming into that game Friday against the Bulls. A top team in the stacked Western Conference. A great measuring stick opportunity for the Bulls, who had come close, you know, to getting good wins over those West elites like the Lakers and the Clippers a couple of times. But that's double digit halftime lead, man. You just saw it slowly whittle away and whittle away. The fourth quarter in particular, you mentioned the turnovers. The Bulls had 19 on the night and allowed 24 Suns points off of said 19 turnovers. 10 of those 19 turnovers came in the fourth quarter when the Bulls got outscored 32-16. I mean, that's your ball game right there. You cannot afford that many turnovers in the final quarter of a winnable game, especially when your opponent has a deadly veteran point guard like CP3 who can take advantage of every one of those opportunities and pick you apart. We saw CP3 do it against the Bulls when he was playing for OKC last season and the Bulls blew a 20-plus point lead where CP3 picked him apart in the fourth quarter. Same story, same main main villain. He was just wearing a different jersey. I swear, I felt like I was experiencing deja vu watching it happen. But to me, it pointed to a larger issue that we have always known exists with this Bulls team. They're young, they're fast, they're talented. They've been deadly in transition this season. They're playing at one of the fastest paces in the NBA this season. But when it comes down to those grind them out possessions, fourth quarter, late fourth quarter, the game slows down. The Bulls do not have a CP3 caliber playmaker or anything even remotely close to it. And that's why the turnovers happen. And that's why they coughed up another winnable game.
They don't even have this second consistent score that we've been talking about for the last couple of weeks either. It's like, can't even alleviate any pressure off of Zach LaVine because, I mean, the Suns knew that virtually the ball is going to Zach LaVine's hands. He's going to be the only one able to create any type of offense, especially when it gets stagnant like the Bulls were in the fourth quarter. I mean, CP3 at 15 assists, he's been ridiculous, man. And so I give him a lot of credit there. We have to, at some point, if Wendell Carter Jr. is going to be the guy going forward, like if that's the guy that is going to be here long term, until he builds up some more muscle, I guess, puts on some more weight, man, they're going to have to go out and sign like a vet big, like a dude that's 6'10", 7 feet, 250, somebody that can just go in there and bully a guy like DeAndre Ayton, because DeAndre Ayton got basically whatever he wanted on Friday night. He was 10 for 17. He had 7 rebounds, 22 points, and 3 blocks. He was huge in this game. So that's where coming to my mind went. It wasn't like, all right, let's criticize Carter for only having 2 points. It was more like, we need another consistent big in there. Just a big body, and like a big body like Cristiano Felicio if he could actually play. But some type of veteran presence if Wendell is going to be the guy going forward. That was my thought.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure if you mentioned it specifically, but the points in the paint, 66 to 44, the Suns just bullying the Bulls. We've seen it happen countless times this season. It is a big decision that AK and Eversley have to make, and I'm sure that they will get Donovan's input as well, as to whether or not they truly believe Wendell can be an undersized starting center for this team long-term. You know, they have a little bit more time to figure that out than, say, the impending big decision of restricted free agent Lauri Markkanen and his future with the team. But, you know, other than nights where we play the super undersized Houston Rockets like we did a couple of weeks ago, and Wendell has a game where it's like, oh, 18 and 13. Cool. That's a decent Wendell game. He just gets bullied by guys. Ayton's, you know, fine. You might call him an above average starting center in the league. And he's only listed at 6'11", but man, he against Wendell looked like someone who was a hell of a lot bigger than 6'11", just because anytime Wendell deals with a true center size center, he's getting bullied, he's getting into foul trouble. And I don't know what AK and Eversley's plan is to address that long term.
Devin Booker wasn't much of a worry. He played 35 minutes in this one. He shot 24 times, which is ridiculous. But, I mean, that's the kind of volume he's getting, and that's the guy that they want him to be. It's funny the comparisons between Booker and LaVine. And, I mean, if we're just going specifically off of this season, LaVine's had a way, way better year than Devin Booker has, especially when you put into context all the pieces Devin Booker has around him compared to what Zach LaVine has around him. And I put it out on Twitter before this game. I just compared Zach LaVine's clutch numbers and Devin Booker's overall numbers to Zach LaVine's this year, and it's staunchly different. So Zach LaVine has had far superior year than Devin Booker, and I'm still not convinced Devin Booker is a better player than Zach LaVine. And if he is, maybe by a hair or an eyelash. But Zach LaVine has done everything he can to possibly put himself in that conversation of being better than Booker and legitimately having that conversation. People laughed at us a couple years ago when we'd make the comparison, but it's even truer now with Zach playing at his best season ever.
Yeah. And I mean, what evidence do you need beyond the fact that Zach LaVine was voted as an all-star reserve and Booker wasn't originally? You know, now we know that he did get in as an alternate to a player who was injured. So kudos to that. And I know that a lot of people around the league were talking about Booker being a snub. And yes, a little bit further context, it is harder, I think, to get into an all-star game in the Western Conference compared to the East right now. But, you know, as far as, you know, guards, there were a couple of big names that switched conferences. And now you have James Harden as an Eastern Conference guard. And it's certainly not easy to be selected as an Eastern Conference All-Star guard. So, you know, maybe not quite as big of a, comparatively more difficult path to an All-Star nod for guards in the West now compared to the East because of that. But still, I think, you know, you brought up the fact that we had those, you know, Booker and LaVine convos years ago and said, hey, like, you know, if Zach takes maybe another step forward, like, you know, take your pick between the two and maybe even take Zach over Booker. And look, Booker's a great player, but I don't think it's a coincidence by any means that the reason that the Suns are, you know, flirting with being a team 10 games over 500 so far through the first half of the season that not many people saw coming is the arrival of Chris Paul. Look what he was able to do with OKC last season. I mean, people talk about LeBron and, you know, beating Father Time. CP3 deserves the same kind of conversation because the guy is getting up there and he still somehow has this impact on winning wherever he goes.
This whole league has gotten kind of obsessed with the assist totals. Like, between him and Draymond and Russell Westbrook and Jokic, I mean,
Draymond has had some ridiculous assist nights recently.
Draymond broke his career high. He had 17 on Saturday, which is absolutely ridiculous. But yeah, the assist numbers are really, really high. That plays into the Bulls' favor, though. Is like, if that's a trend, if guys are seeing, hey, you can do other things and put the ball in the hole and still get recognized for it. You look at across NBA Twitter, like everybody was talking about Draymond's 17 assists. You do other things like that, you can still have an impact on the team. I think it's amazing what he's able to do. Like you said, just turnovers in general against the Suns team, the lack of scoring in the second half, it ended up resulting in a Suns win with a couple of cast of characters on that team that are got a lot more veteran presence than this Bulls team has. The other thing that was the killer too, Matt, was the three-point shooting. I know they shot 38% from three if you look at it on the outside, but take away Luke Kornet's threes and take away Zach LaVine's threes, and the rest of the team shot 22% from three. So that can't happen, and you definitely can't rely on, as nice of a guy as he is, you can definitely not rely on three threes from Luke Kornet on a nightly basis. So,
you mean Big Shot Bob?
Yeah. But he looked good out there, so good for him to, maybe fill a gap until we get to the All-Star break and Lowry returns after that. But they're going to have to find some more consistent three-point shooting, and maybe it's just we need the return of Lowry for that to happen.
Perhaps. Jordan, we also, before we get out of here, wanted to touch on the latest of one Thad Young, a.k.a. Thadgic Johnson. Before that, though, wanted to talk to our listeners a little bit more about Built Bar, our great friends at Built Bar. You brought them up at the top of the show. I also got a box of that new flavor, the crunchy peanut butter. Oh, my God, man. Those things are delicious. I am flying through those. Built Bars are new and improved and even deliciouser than ever. Try six of their new flavors like caramel brownie, cookies and cream, lemon almond cheesecake, and apple almond crisp. Plus, you got some of the OG flavors, some of my favorites, the German chocolate, the peanut butter, the mint brownie. Built Bars are covered in 100% chocolate. They're soft and they're easy to chew. Built Bars are great for the health-conscious sports fans out there. Lose or maintain weight while indulging in these delicious treats. Take, for example, that cookies and cream Built Bar, which comes packed with 17 full grams of protein, but is only 130 calories, only 4 grams of sugar, and just 4 grams of net carbs. And right now, our Locked On Bulls listeners, if they go to builtbar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON20, you'll get 20% off your next order. Again, that's a new promo code, not the old one. The new promo code at builtbar.com for 20% off is LOCKEDON20. That's LOCKEDON20 for 20% off at builtbar.com.
So the conversation that's been kind of the forefront of Bulls talk right now, outside of the games going on, it's been around Thaddeus Young, and do you trade him? Do you not trade him? What's his value? Are you going to piss people off by dealing him or at least floating his name out there on the market? I've thought about it more this weekend, Matt, from our conversation that we had last week. I think that there is a real possibility that Thaddeus Young could get traded. I have more of a feeling, though, that the front office went and talked to, whether it be Zach, if they have their mindset on Zach being here long term and they don't want anything to screw that up, I would imagine that they went and had a conversation with him and said, hey, this is what we're thinking about doing. What are your thoughts? That's the first move you make as an organization who's trying to repair their relationships with players, especially your best player here, after years of kind of having let that unfold towards the end of the relationship. So this is something that the Bulls had to work on organizationally, and I would imagine the new front office had a conversation with Zach, no?
Yeah, I think that it would be a safe assumption to say they've talked to Zach about their plans or a variety of hypothetical different avenues to go down as far as this trade deadline that is now less than a month away, and saying, hey, if we get a offer for Thad that we think could really help us out long term, you know, would you be okay with that? And it might mean some tougher sledding in the back half of this season. And it might even mean costing the Bulls, you know, an opportunity for their first playoff appearance in 4 years and Zach's first playoff appearance in his entire NBA career. But it could really help us out long term if it is a truly quality offer. You know, because if it's like a second round pick or maybe even two, they might not see that as worth it. But if it is a legitimate first-round pick offer that they get, or a young player who has a lot of promise, and AK says, hey, here's another great piece that we can help, you know, build around you, Zach, maybe he would be okay with that. Because obviously Zach wants to win, and losing Thad would truly put a damper on the Bulls' playoff chances. I mean, damper would be putting it, you know, kindly. I would say trading Thad would flat out kill the Bulls' playoff chances. Wouldn't you agree with that?
You would have nobody to play in the front court. You had no consistency in the front court. I mean,
I believe you just brought up the fact that Luke Kornet hit three threes on Friday.
I mean, that's who you would be relying on to actually have to play minutes if you do deal Thad. I understand, like, if a team's going to offer you a young, controllable player, and they're desperate, and the Bulls, they should be in the driver's seat right now. Like, you don't have to make a move if you don't want to. Thad is still very valuable to this team, at least short term he is. And you're right, I think he's a big factor in why the Bulls could potentially make or miss the playoffs. It's crazy to think that when this guy a year ago was sitting at the end of Boylan's bench and could barely get 15 minutes a night. It's insane, but he is that valuable to this team. I wonder what the conversations are. I guess let me ask you this. Do you feel like the playoff experience in keeping Thaddeus Young here is more valuable to this team long-term than it is to trade him away for one of those first-round picks or maybe a young player if you make a deal last second? What do you feel like is more valuable in which the path the Bulls are going on?
I think it's not possible to know the answer to that question unless you know what exactly the offer is. Because right now it's just like a hypothetical, you know, amorphous blob of should we trade Thad or should we not? And Bulls fans have all these super strong opinions about it. And they have these strong, you know, like, oh, over my dead body, you cannot trade Thad. You can't trade him. Or, yeah, trade him. And Bulls fans seem to be gathering those opinions and holding firmly to them without actually knowing what the offer is. Because guess what? None of us know what the offer is. We don't even know if the Bulls have had calls about Thad's availability yet, because there's still tons of time before the deadline. You know, it's March 1st. The deadline's the 25th. That's 3+ weeks. And we know that a lot of these trade deadline deals get done in like the last couple of days and even in the last couple of hours prior to said deadline. So that's why it's so hard to put a concrete answer, yes or no, trade Thad, get what you can for him, or do not trade Thad, the playoffs are more important. Well, maybe the playoffs aren't more important if you get a Kings ransom offer for a veteran who's 32 and is in his 14th season. So to me, it's like it all depends on what that offer is. And if it is a quality offer when I hear it, then I'll say, yep, great. Thanks for everything, Thad, but we're setting ourselves up for the future. And if they decide to pull the trigger and I hear the trade package that they get in return for Thad and think it's weak, then I'll be disappointed that they traded him and didn't make a playoff run. But until we know exactly what that offer is, we can't know if it's a good idea or a bad idea.
I think the Bulls, if they get blown away, like if they get absolutely blown away where it's like, yep, absolutely, like we have to do this. At some point, Thaddeus Young knows this is a business as well. And again, I always think about like the conversations that they're having between each other and what they're thinking about short term and long term about this team. And also to kind of where they're at in their careers, Zach being one, and Thaddeus Young too. Like what is his career goals, right? I mean, he's become a very valuable player, and there's going to be several teams calling that have a legitimate opportunity to contend for a championship. Is that something that maybe he desires as well? I mean, that could be part of the conversation as well. But yeah, like I just have a very hard time passing up an offer like you're talking about, whether it be for a young player or a first round pick, and saying, you know what, that 7 or 8 seed, it feels better than taking another shot in the draft or having a potential to build another piece long term. Although I do value playoff experience a ton, man.
And I, you know, obviously those, you know, top lottery picks are always highly, you know, valued, and teams don't trade those away for cheap. But, and it's something that I expressed when I first laid out my thoughts about the whole Thad Young trade thing a couple of weeks ago, is that you're not only talking about, you know, if you can get a first round pick for him, then what that pick would turn into. And clearly out of the gate, that pick would probably not be as useful of a piece as that has been useful to the Bulls this season. But I was talking more about the Bulls hypothetically trying to package 2 first round picks to move up, which last season I didn't necessarily think was worth it in that draft class for the top picks. But this upcoming draft class, I feel a little bit differently. And so if you trade Thad and ensuingly the Bulls probably fall back into the lottery one more year, and who knows, they've evened out those odds. Maybe the Bulls get lucky in the lottery. Maybe they don't. If they don't, they still have their own lottery pick and maybe an additional first round pick that they could package, and maybe even package with a young player on the roster right now to move up into like a top 3 spot and nab one of the best prospects in the 2021 draft class. I think that's an opportunity that the Bulls shouldn't, you know, completely close the door on before they explore it.
I'm going for best of both worlds. How about the Bulls get the 9 or 10 seed and they play in the play-in game, and that counts as their playoff experience, and you also get a lottery pick. Let's get best of both worlds.
Do the play-in teams get a lottery pick? Like get entered into the lottery? I guess they would, right?
Yeah, because 9 and 10, you're at the back end of the lottery. You're at 13 or 14, right? Yeah, because 8 and 8 is 16. Yeah, you got 14 teams in the lottery. So yeah. I mean, you could play yourself into a best of both worlds situation.
Does that even really count as playoff experience?
Well, who's to say that they don't win that game?
If you get to the whole play-in thing as the 9th or 10th and don't go any further, like that's not even a playoff series. That's like a playoff game or two.
But if you win, then you go to an actual playoff, like a regular playoff series. I mean, that's best case scenario in my opinion.
But then if you do that, then you don't get your lottery position, right?
I think, no, it's regular season, right? It's wherever you stack up at the regular season, that would be considered postseason. So the Bulls would already be locked into a certain lottery spot. No, am I wrong?
I don't know. We'll have to check that and come back to this conversation, because I would have assumed that in the play-in thing, if you're a team 9 or 10 that jumps the 7 and 8 and actually gets into a first-round playoff series, then the teams at 7 or 8 who lost to you then take your spot in the lottery because they are actually not playoff teams. Yeah, but I don't know. I haven't looked conclusively to figure out what those rules are with this play-in stuff.
I can't remember, and it's not even we're so far down the rabbit hole now of this conversation, but with Thaddeus Young, this is like the type of conversations that we're going to be having over the next couple of weeks, and I only imagine there's going to be more and more rumors popping up as well, and with the long break too, man, we're going to hear rumors left and right.
And interestingly, Jordan, quickly before we get out of here, Thad has finally really addressed those rumors head on. As we're recording here, you know, early afternoon Monday, he posted this on Twitter and his Instagram page. So what he posted on Instagram was actually just like a graphic from Bleacher Nation, but it was of a quote that came from Bobby Marks's trade deadline, guide for all 30 teams. Which is behind the ESPN Plus paywall. I tweeted out some screenshots of it when it was published last week. In case you missed those, this is what it said, and these are Bobby Marks' words. Thaddeus Young is currently viewed by league executives as a potential game changer for contending teams. We took a straw poll of league execs on which player outside of Bradley Beal could change the landscape of the playoff race. The unanimous answer was the veteran Thaddeus Young. So that came from Bobby Marks' ESPN Plus trade deadline column last week. So Thad Young posted that quote on Instagram, and then beneath that wrote, "I'm humbled and grateful, but as I have said, my focus is on what is here in front of me right now, and that is my team, the Chicago Bulls, and our season. Let's get it." So that's basically Thad Young saying, my focus right now is staying with the Bulls. And he talked when Zach LaVine did his all-star, you know, selection media thing, saying, hey, I told Zach when I got here, we had two goals, make you an all-star and make the playoffs. And he said, we got you an all-star, now the next step. And this Instagram post, which he then forwarded to his Twitter account, makes it sound like Thad is very much committed to getting the Bulls in the playoffs.
Interesting. That's good. I like to hear him double down. That's awesome. But to me, that kind of sounds like also like, hey, this is kind of cool. And like, I don't have to have sour grapes if they do trade me, because every team in the league pretty much sees me as an ultimate game changer, at least in this season alone. Like, that's pretty wild considering where Thaddeus Young in his career was even 2 years ago, man, before he signed with the Bulls. So that's big for his career and what ultimately his legacy is as far as his basketball career. And if this is your opportunity to win too, I'm sure in the back of his mind he's thinking about those things. But it is cool. I appreciate that, and that's great that he's doubled down on the fact that he wants to get this Bulls team to the playoffs.
Yeah. You know, obviously he and Zach share that goal. You know, I know that I'm sure Billy Donovan would be thrilled to take this pretty young team to the playoffs in his first year at the helm. And like I said, man, it all comes down to what that offer is, because I would be more than fine with AK and Eversley deciding to take a long-term approach here. As much as it might hurt in the immediate future to see the Bulls, you know, fall out of the playoff situation in the East, because I know that fans are hungry for this team to be back in the playoffs, and it looks like we're close, right? Like, we for a fun 24 hours there, we were the sixth seed in the East and a half game out of the fourth seed. Well, the Bulls, you know, with that Suns collapse, they dropped to 15 and 17. Now they're all the way back in 10th. I think there's going to be a lot of fluctuating in the standings. And some of the teams that have now leapfrogged the Bulls and are starting to figure it out, like Miami, are probably only going to continue to climb. I assume that the Celtics are going to figure shit out eventually. So, you know, it won't be easy for the Bulls to make these playoff spots, man. And I know the fan base wants it, but I would be okay if they decide to take the long-term approach.
Bulls are sitting in the driver's seat right now, man. And, I'm willing to bet that we will get some clarity on this at some point relatively soon. And maybe it's not for a couple of weeks when talks actually turn into legitimate rumors. Right now, it's just, hey, where could you fit a player and who does he fit best with? And I'm sure they're having conversations behind closed doors. But still, it's going to be interesting, man, over the next couple of weeks to really talk about this. And especially, I can only imagine what Bulls Twitter is going to be like when we don't have games for, what, 10 days in between the All-Star game. Hopefully, there's enough distraction with Zach being an All-Star that we're not waging wars over where Chandler Hutchison is getting traded or something like that.
Dude, what the hell's going on with him, man?
Like, I don't
they
know.
They showed him in his street clothes on the bench during that Friday game, and I was just like, man, what is up with Hutch?
I have no idea, and that's a good question. But last thing, and then we're getting out of here, is I wasn't gonna let us talk about a Suns game in which our guy Cameron Payne played 9 minutes in.
And it batted free, got it back. Lifts a four. Oh my goodness! Are you kidding me, Cameron Payne? I'm telling you, he's having an out of body experience tonight. 7 of 11.
Oh my goodness!
All of his field goals have been threes.
Wow.
You'd have told me Cameron Payne would have made 7 threes in a game, I might have slapped you, Neil.
I think that's going to about do it here on Locked On Bulls. Thanks again for listening all month long. Last month was a huge month for us. This year's already been very big too. So subscribe, rate us on iTunes. If you take the 30 seconds to do that, we really appreciate it. So rate, subscribe anywhere you get your podcasts. We're on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls_Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. You hit us up on our text and voicemail line, 331-979-1369. Drop your voicemails, your texts, anything you got for us, 331-979-1369. For Matt Peck, I'm Jordan Malley. Bulls Nation, have a wonderful night. Enjoy Bulls and Nuggets tonight. Be back tomorrow with a fresh episode. For Jordan and Matt, we are out. Deuces.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com.
Thanks a lot.